Great to be back here and be able to visit and catch up with everyone and just have the opportunity to share how things are going and what's happened over the last year. So usually I have a video, and I do have a video. so don't worry, you won't have to listen to me the whole time. But just to kind of help out, I want to share a little bit before, and then as you're seeing the video and the pictures, you'll have a little bit of an idea what you're seeing in the picture. So I just maybe a quick reminder or a refresher on what Training in Truth is about. We are training followers of Christ through horsemanship. We kind of use that as a slogan sometimes, and it's a little bigger than just horsemanship, because we're doing that in a ranching context, so people get to experience more of ranch life than just horses. But that's the main part in doing that. Our goal is to be discipling and taking young people, primarily those who have graduated from high school, and helping them to get a good foundation and a good start in something that is hopefully as real life as we can make it. So we're doing that. A part of that is doing a daily study of God's Word in the classroom, not just as we go through life, but actually in the classroom. And then also, we're doing horsemanship, God has given us some tremendous illustrations from His creation to be able to communicate truth, especially our relationship with God. And so that's what we hope to be able to provide. The emphasis in our Bible teaching has been around our worldview and then victorious Christian living and kind of building a foundation towards that. And so obviously I'll talk in a moment here about the length of time we have people, but in that length of time we're not able to do an entire Bible school education, but we're trying to lay a groundwork and a framework to really root young people in the Word of God, and a good biblical worldview is a foundation that is so often missing in our culture today. And so we want to work from there and then be able to help them to be a follower of Christ and to be victorious in that. And so we do that through horsemanship, Bible class, and being involved in ranch work as well. So just a little bit of a report from this year. We had we call the young people, when they come, an apprentice. That's our idea, is to sort of mirror an apprentice type training, and it's not that length of time. Back in the old days, I think you apprenticed for something like 7 years. So we don't have people for 7 years, but that's kind of the concept that we have. And we had this year we had three young ladies, and they didn't come all at the same time, but we started in May, and then they were kind of staggered in coming in, and we're all the way through the end of August. And then actually this year our September and October months were open, which was kind of a blessing. We have found that our schedule, during the winter we don't have people just for weather reasons, that we're kind of getting back-to-back and overlapped and realizing that we're getting behind on things that need to be done, and then also seeing the need to be able to invest in our own kids and needing to get that, make sure that that's staying a priority as well. And so so we kind of concluded with apprentices at the end of August this year. We also have, I forgot to mention, we've continued to do a backpacking trip. The Lord has really been using that, especially this year, kind of grew into some kids that we don't normally have, and has opened some doors, made some real inroads, I think, into some folks that have been resistant to the gospel in our own community. And so we're excited about that, praying the Lord continues to use it. September, we always do our horsemanship clinics, and we did two again this year. Those were exciting, had a full group, and were able to have some, especially one fella I'm going to mention again later that that we've worked with quite a bit. And I know he doesn't know the Lord. He's able to hear the gospel there very clearly, and was what happened in the heart. I don't know, but from the outwards was not rejecting, was open, and so we want to. I'll bring that up for prayer requests later with a little more detail, but just excited to be able to have those opportunities through that part of the ministry as well. And then last year we started, I think I mentioned it, but this year was our second live nativity that we did for our community, which is exciting again, the number of people they have to come out, but they have come out to that, and we've had the opportunity to reach people that would never darken the door of the church that were willing to come to the live nativity, hear what Christmas is about and why Jesus came, and of course get to see it in a fun way. So we're excited about that and hoping, desiring that the Lord would allow us to continue to do that each year. And so, all right, and I guess as far as things that we're working on around our place, we've talked about our bunkhouse quite a bit. We're really excited that project is done, and we have the housing, we have the office, and all of that, and really a blessing to our ministry. And we now have room when we don't have apprentices for people to come see us. So keep that in mind. We have better housing for visitors. So anyway. I think at this time I want to show you the pictures. I think I have to. Nope. Yes. There we go. I put in the wrong thing first. Do I have to turn that on?
It must have shut down the outside.
That get going. Do I need to pull blinds? Or can we see this good without? Okay. Probably should? Okay. All right.
Lord, you made a million miracles a day, and yet you come and walk with me. There are other needs much greater, yet you feed the little birds after my dream. You don't give your flight to eagles, cold and early, send the earth a gentle breeze. Never been a greater miracle than what you did inside me. You are giving place in clouds above.
All right. Well, hopefully gives you a little picture into what life has looked like over the last year. Just want to report on a couple of other things just quickly. One is some changes that we're making to how our schedule works and some things we're adding. We have been running from May. We have actually started as early as April, and the weather is very difficult in April still. But we've kind of been starting at May, running through October, kind of fitting into the schedule however people can fit in. And we're kind of becoming more rigid this year, but trying to open up an opportunity to do more with high school age kids. So we are starting in May, I'm doing May and June as a apprentice slot, I guess you could say, time slot, May and June, and with our graduated kids, and with an emphasis on still the Bible and horsemanship, but a lot on the riding side of it, because there's so much ranch work happening that time of year, and it kind of helps us with some of the people that have come and maybe don't have enough time with horses yet to be doing training, so it gives us a chance to plug them in something more specific to that, or that would fit for them. And then in July, our backpacking trip falls in July, and then we're going to have 2 weeks for a high school age group to be able to come. And we've had some requests from the high school kids that there would be something for them that would fit, you know, during the school break and all of that. And also wanting to be able to really encourage young men to be involved more. We've had young men, but we're heavy to the girls, which we kind of expect with horse stuff. Just really wanting to do that. And so our thought is that by opening something up during the summer with high school age, we can maybe get their interest before they graduate to maybe come in and spend some time with us a longer time. And we have basically, at this point, it's all guys that are looking at our high school thing right now. So we're excited about that. That's kind of a change that we're doing. And then September and October, of course, we have the clinics that we're doing. Now, you saw pictures of that, but then we'll have another September and October apprentice program where we're kind of focusing on the training aspect of horsemanship and colt starting. And so that's our kind of the change or the shift in our schedule and everything that we're are working on right now. And then our hope is that in the future, as the Lord provides, that we're going to be able to do an indoor facility and add another time slot in the winter that we can have people come in. And then our focus would be we would probably have more of actual Bible class time because of it being winter and that being easier to do there. And then everything is more inside because of the weather. Our thought is that we could have something that was somewhat progressive where we could have some of our students from before come back in the winter and go in deeper. And that's kind of our in the future, what we would like to be able to do. So that's kind of some changes that are happening there. And then I also just want to be able to share some prayer requests, things that you can specifically be praying for us in our ministry. And one would be our apprentices coming in. We have some that are signed up. We have a couple that have been accepted, and they were a year ahead of time. And one of those we've tried and tried and can't make contact with. So just prayer that the Lord would direct in that and whatever's going on in that situation, that He would have the people there this summer that He desires us to minister to. Really pray also for this high school program, since it's kind of something new and being able to just foresee the things we need to foresee in order to do a good job of reaching those high school kids. Praying also for the backpacking trip. That's been a important ministry just in our own youth group and local kids. And the Lord has opened some doors there with some kids we don't usually get an opportunity to minister to, and we would like that to continue. Also, just in Bible study preparations for our summer, we do a lot of our preparation beforehand, and just that the Lord would guide and direct us in those preparations as well. And just a special prayer request for some of the people that we have in our own community that the Lord has given us opportunity with. Through, as I mentioned, the backpacking trip already, there's a family that we feel like the walls have come down a little more since being able to do that. And then also a fellow that we work with in ranch work at a ranch that we go help out with. He came to our horsemanship clinic, young fella, just a few months ago. He's married just a year and lost his wife to a car accident. And doesn't know the Lord, I think there's some Mormon background there that I've picked up on, and just that that the Lord would use this to draw him to Himself, and not that his heart wouldn't become hard through something like this, and that the Lord would open the door, and the opportunity has been there to minister to him, and that door would stay open. So, if we could, would just really appreciate your prayers in these areas. I think I'm going to go right to sharing from the Word. Sometimes I take questions, but I've probably spent more time than I should have on some of these other things. So we'll have opportunity with fellowship dinner to visit, and I want to be able to share a little bit from Scripture here. If I could have you turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I want to read verses 16 and 17 and give you just a moment to get there. But as we kind of, as we look at the world around us, everything is upside down, I guess you could say. There's so much chaos and conflict, and we expect that because we recognize that we're in the last days. But the reality that is there, that the world is like that, and we live in that world, and we're impacted by the world that is upside down and backwards, and where we see the what is wrong being considered right, and what is right being considered wrong. And it's a world that's rejecting God. That's why we see that. And what I want us to look at for a few minutes this morning is that the gospel is still what people need. That's pretty basic, I know, a foundation. But I think it's so important. The gospel is central to everything for us as believers. And it's central, obviously, to our salvation, but it's the truth in the gospel, God's grace, is central to our lives as we live as well. And the gospel is still important. The gospel is still relevant, even though our world appears to be falling apart as we've never seen it before. And to expand the gospel beyond just that Jesus, that he died and that he was buried and that he rose again to pay the penalty for our sin. The gospel, the good news, God's word is relevant today, as it always has been. And God's power is still great, as it always has been. The gospel is still how we're saved, and the gospel is still how we're kept, and the gospel is still how we continue, the grace of God. And so I just want to share a little bit here from Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Here Paul says in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Shame concerning the gospel is something we shouldn't feel. Just thinking a little bit about what being ashamed is, or having shame, is that idea of feeling shame for something, of fear or disappointment or failure. If we could turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I think Paul helps us to understand a little bit about what he means in terms of the shame aspect, not being ashamed. As he speaks to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, beginning at verse 6, he says, "Therefore, I remind you," this is Paul writing to Timothy, "I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." Paul enters into the discussion here, or the encouragement to Timothy to not be ashamed, by telling him that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is a big part of this idea of being ashamed or having shame. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. God has chosen to work through his gospel to save people. It's his plan of salvation. Just a couple of thoughts. I think there's a lot of ways, and if we were to be discussing it, we might have a lot of different nuances or ways that we might struggle with being ashamed of the gospel or having fear with regard to the gospel. But there's two that I want to just think about for application for us. The first is a fear of what might happen. And I think that probably comes to our mind the quickest. That if I was to share the gospel, that I might meet with ridicule. That's probably the extent of what we meet in America, is maybe someone is would reject it or reject me because I'm preaching the gospel, because I'm sharing the gospel. Around our world, the risk of persecution is very real. Physical harm because of sharing the gospel. We might be tempted to be afraid to share the gospel because of some of those things. The other idea that comes to my mind is a fear of what might not happen. A fear of what might not happen. And by that I mean, is the gospel really going to be effective? And I know that as we sit in the pew, that we're going to say, oh, I absolutely believe that the gospel is going to be effective in as it's presented to change hearts through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit of God. And so we know that, but when I think there's ways that we reveal that maybe there's a question, if I could put it that way. What other things do we, as believers, what other things do we trust in to work in our world? What do we put confidence in? We sometimes can spend a lot of time thinking about how problems could be repaired by what we do at the polls. Not that it's wrong to talk about or to think about those things or to be educated, but do we recognize that what our world needs is the gospel? If we want to see changes take place around us, people need to come to Christ. And so the gospel is what is important. These other things maybe could be good things, but where is our confidence in terms of how we think a world is going to be changed when it's upside down and when we see brokenness around us? And I think we could think of other things as well. There's so many that take the Word of God plus this other book that helps me to understand. Many good authors and good information in books, but it's the truth of God's Word that is going to transform lives. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The gospel is God's plan to reconcile all things to himself. That is how he's chosen it, in his plan to reconcile all things to himself. If I could just take us to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Beginning at verse 19, I'm kind of breaking into the middle here, as Paul writes about the greatness and even the superiority of Christ, his sufficiency. He says, "For it pleased the Father that in him, that's Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." God's plan is through his Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile all things to himself on the cross. The gospel that Jesus died and that he was buried and that he rose again, and he paid the penalty for our sin. The gospel is God's plan to reconcile all things to himself. Just to answer some of the fear that, or the shame that one might feel towards the gospel, I want to look at just three things quickly here, primarily from Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The first is that the gospel is what God chooses to use, but it's God's power to save. We read that in here in verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Man's arguments, if we can go there for a moment, our ability to present well or to speak well or to have a good argument to convince someone, while God can use and does use as a tool, it's His gospel. It's His word that transforms lives. So the gospel is the power of God to salvation. If we look at, just quickly, I should have told you to keep your finger in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy again in chapter 1. If we pick it up at verse 8. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel." God's plan there, again, of salvation, God, the gospel, God's power to save. And we know it in our own testimony, don't we? If we've trusted Christ as Savior, we have experienced God's power through His plan of salvation to be made right with Him. Something else I think that we see in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 again, Romans 1:16. If we keep our finger in 2 Timothy, I think I want to go back there one more time, but it's God's power to keep. God's power to keep us. Find it in the tense, and it jumped out at me when I looked at the verse in a literal translation. But "for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes," or as the literal translation that I was reading, "for everyone believing." It makes that present tense jump out. His power for salvation, God power to salvation for everyone who believes, the believer right now. The gospel, God's plan of salvation, is sufficient to save us and to keep us. I know that that's fundamental that we understand that, but it is a precious, precious truth when we look at a world around us, and we could become fearful of what might lie in the future if the Lord tarries. We have a hope, an eternal hope to look forward to. He has the power to keep us. If you have your finger in 2 Timothy, just turning back over and looking at verse 12, Paul describes his salvation, but then also the ministry that he's been given. And then in verse 12, he says, "For this reason," he's been appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, "for this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed." Paul's experiencing things that could bring fear, and he's encouraging Timothy, but he says, "I'm not ashamed, even though I'm suffering. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." Our confidence, and the confidence that Paul bears out here, the no need for fear is because of the who of the gospel here. It's God, the creator and designer of the universe. "I know whom I have believed." The all-powerful. And if I could just, we've there the God's power to save, his power to keep, and then his power to strengthen us to continue. And if we just look at it back into Romans at verse 17, and I'll read that quickly here. He says, "For in it," that's in the gospel, "in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And of course, Paul took the next, well, there's 16 chapters in Romans to deal with this issue, and so we're not going to deal with it entirely in a conclusion. But God has his power, it's sufficient for us to save us and for us to continue to walk with him. We have his righteousness on our account. That's the position that we have because of the gospel. But practically and personally right now, I can experience God's power in my life. The just shall live by faith. As we walk by faith with him, recognizing what he has done for us by grace according to his plan of salvation, we can continue in God's power. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this truth and something that I think we know and we understand. But Lord, would you just bring it to our minds and to our hearts to remember what your plan is, and to keep in the forefront of our mind that the gospel is your plan of salvation. It hasn't changed. It's still what the world needs. It's still what will free people from the bondage of sin and overcome. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.